are on Book 4, Chapter 3. We started it 3 weeks ago. 4 weeks ago. 4 weeks ago. Red book. It's the healing chapter. Oh. You have the red and blue book? Red one? Let me look at it real quick. I'll find out where it's at. We have a lot to cover tonight, everybody. Hi, Sean. Issue, I don't even know you. Ah! What book do you have? Oh, yeah. Nay, saith the Lord. The only one we have now in stock is book one, which is the one we're going right into. So if you want book one, that will be available. I think you only purchased 15 of them, so they will be available if you want them. Okay, if you're online, you can actually go to Amazon.com, and you can go Truth, A Rock Solid Faith, Dr. Michael Spencer, and you can purchase yours right online. If you want to get the original red or blue book, which actually has more than what these four little books have, that is also available on Kindle. You can buy that on the Kindle. Truth or Rock Solid Faith, there'll be a blue book or a red book, book one or book two. Download them both. It's actually less expensive to do the Kindle than it is to do even the four books. So tonight we're going to cover, and we've been covering, healing. And it's a massive question. And the reason it's a massive question is so many people struggle with this because there is a lot of false teaching about healing. And I mean false teaching. I'm not talking like there's just different philosophies or, well, you interpret your Bible one way and I interpret my Bible the other way. No, I'm talking bad teaching. Because healing is a real easy topic in the Scripture. It's not a difficult one. I want to remind you, as we had already covered, there are two things you cannot separate in the Scripture. The blood, which represents forgiveness. The body, which represents healing. We find it in Exodus chapter 12. We find that God declares himself Jehovah Rapha. I am the God that healeth thee in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. We see in Psalms 23, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our sins and heals all of our diseases. We then see in Psalms 105, thank you, sir. Is that the only one? Okay. Psalms 105, that declares that when they left Egypt, there was not one feeble among the tribes. Over 2.5 million people, young to old, even the animals. There was not one sick among the tribes because they put the door over the post, which gave them the liberty where death did not come in. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We know the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So the blood represents forgiveness. But the body, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 12, they also ate the body of the lamb. The reason I'm going so quick. Ate the body of the lamb. When they ate the body of the lamb, that's where the healing came. And 2.5 million people, according to Psalms 105, Bible says when they left Egypt, they left with all the wealth of Egypt, and there was not one feeble among the tribes. Feeble means weak. Feeble means sick. Feeble means disease. Not one person. We then go to Psalms 107, and the Bible declares that he sent his word to heal us, talking about Jesus. The word heal there is, again, Rapha, dealing with physical healing. We then see in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, whose report shall you believe? And then 4 through 6 talks about the same two things. You cannot separate the blood and the body. Who is wounded for our transgressions? The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes you are healed. Talking about present tense, because God is the God that healeth thee. We then look in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, and we see a repeat of Isaiah chapter 53, 4 through 6, where God said he saves and heals. We then see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where we talk about communion. How many of you have ever taken communion? You have a cup, which represents the blood, which represents forgiveness. And then you eat cracker, which represents the body, which represents healing. See, all the way through. Exodus chapter 12, blood and body. Exodus chapter 15, Jehovah Rapha. Psalms 103, blood and body. Psalms 105, blood and body. Isaiah chapter 53, blood and body. Matthew 8:17, blood and body. First Corinthians chapter 11, blood and body. First Peter chapter 2, verse 24, I believe it is, talks again about the same thing, blood and body. And then it goes into another realm. He says, I am the God that healeth thee. But then he said, in this portion, he said, by my stripes you were healed. How could Peter say were at that point in time? It's very simple, and that is because Jesus Christ had already died on the cross. He had already risen from the dead. Therefore, your healing and your salvation is past tense in the sense to where now it's already been appropriated. It's already been paid for. Now the only thing you have to do is receive what you've already bought. Amen. That was a quick recap of the first week. That was quick, wasn't it? So it's important to know and to understand that it is always, everybody say always, God's will to heal. How many believe it's always God's will to save somebody? The Bible says God wills that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if you believe it's always God's will to save, you've got to believe it's always, everybody say always, always, say always, always God's will to heal. It's always his will to heal. Now, the question usually isn't, is it always God's will to heal? Although that is one of the questions, because we have a bunch of denominations that are now teaching, if you are sick, God brought it on you to teach you some spiritual good. If that is true, then going to a doctor is a sin. Every doctor and nurse would be a sinner, would be actually an antichrist, would actually be working for Lucifer. If it's God's will for you to be sick and you're trying to get healthy, then you're going against God's will, and those helping you are demonic. How many of you know that's just plain dumb and stupid? Dumb and stupid. But you see, that's what the perpetuation of religion has now been a proponent of, in that people go to get healed, and they go, well, you know, it might be God's will that you are sick right now. Really, if it's God's will to be sick, then why are you taking medication? This is where we have a big hang-up in the body of Christ, because we have not been taught correctly. When you're not taught correctly, you believe things that are a lie, and the problem is it is unraveled with the Scripture. The Scripture is clear concerning healing. Show me one person in the New Testament that Jesus sent away and said, it's not my will to heal you. You need to wait another week or so. Show me one. Show me one place where Jesus didn't heal all that came to him. The word isn't some. He didn't go and heal a crew of them. The only place that he didn't heal everybody was where? Was in his hometown. Why in his hometown? Because they did not accept who he was. A prophet is not accepted even in his own country. Why? Because they saw him not as the Messiah, not as the Redeemer. They saw him only as Joseph's son. So it's important that we grasp this, because if you have bought a lie, then what happens is, how can you pray in faith? And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, the answer is on the way. Well, how can you have confidence if you don't believe it's yours? When I was an evangelist, I sent a request to go preach at one of my friends from Bible college's church. The response flabbergasted. He said, I sent a preaching cassette tape. Yes, what? A cassette tape. And he said to me, I can't let somebody like you preach in my church. I have so many sick people, you'd confuse them all. I sent it to another guy, and he actually invited me down. So here I am in Maryland. I'm going to preach on Sunday morning. It's Saturday night. And he says, you can preach anything but healing. He said, well, it's not always God's will to heal, and I know what you preach. I says, really? And I took him through this chapter. And he went, I can't believe I had surrendered my covenant rights that Christ already paid. I got up that week. I preached healing. Came back the next year, preached healing again. Came back the next year, preached healing again. They saw mighty, mighty miracles in that church. Well, why? Because you can only have faith in what you know is God's desire. You can't have faith in something you're not sure is actually yours. You're going to go get in your car after this service. You're going to open the door, click, click. You're going to get in. You're going to either press a button or turn a key. And you're not going to worry about you getting arrested for car stealing. Well, why? Because it's your car. You have a confidence when you sit in there to go, oh, yeah, you don't even think about it. Watch. You don't even think about it. You just know that when you walk up to that car, you unlock it, you're going to get into it, and you're going to drive it away and not worry about the cops coming to take you away. Because you have a confidence that it's already yours. This in the body of Christ. It should not be a second thought when we talk about healing. In fact, let me play with you a little bit. We should be more shocked when someone's not healed than when they are. When you see somebody get out of a wheelchair, it should be, whoa, it should be. Not, wow. Got this thing backwards because of bad teaching in the body of Christ. And we've got to grasp this. Now, your faith is already rising. How do I know that? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I've quoted already probably about 20 verses for you. Your spirit man is already grasping a hold of them, and faith is starting to arise. And as faith is arising, there is a convincing by the Holy Spirit that you as a child of God have a right to be healed. You have a right to be healed. Well, you can't tell God to do anything. Really? That's not what the Bible says. You have rights. And in those rights, you can claim those rights. You can declare those rights. My kids walk into my house, go to my refrigerator, steal my clothes, take my guns. Chad Spencer, he's the one. Chad more than anybody else. He just walks in, and he takes whatever he wants. And he leaves. He doesn't ask me. I'll go look for it. Anybody seen? And I'm not a tool guy. But I have a box of tools. And I couldn't find them. I know I have them. I know I didn't lose them. No, I didn't call Cody. I called Chad. Do you have my toolbox? What toolbox? I said, do you have my toolbox? He says, is it red? But you see, he knows. He doesn't even have to ask. In fact, it was really funny. I love my dad. But during hunting season this year, Chad walked into the man cave, walked over to my hand warmers, took five or six of them. You know, the expensive ones. You know, the one that pastes on your chest? They have adhesive. So he put one on his chest. He put them on his back. He put them there, and he put them there. Then he had hand warmers. And my father's watching him. My father says, what are you doing? Those aren't yours. Those are your father's. You ask your father if you could take his hand warmers. He was legitimately mad. And so, of course, what's Chad doing? He's just laughing. Chad comes to me after and he tells me, actually, my dad came to me and he said, hey, I told Chad, he's not allowed to take your hand warmers. I said, Dad, he can have anything he wants in his house. Well, I just don't think it's right. I said, Dad, he can have anything he wants. He can walk in my house and he can take whatever he wants. You have a father in heaven that is paid for certain things in your life that you don't even need to ask for. They're already paid for. But if you don't know they're yours and you don't know you have the right just to walk in and take them, then you're not going to go in with a confidence. You're going to go in with a hope. And God is not moved by your hope. God is not moved by your need. God is moved by your faith. Jesus never once prayed for a sick person. Not once. The closest he came to praying for a sick person was Lazarus. And he said this, "Lord, that they may know we are one." So what did he do? Well, he knew it was always God's will to heal. How do we know that? Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and Jesus went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus made a declaration. I only do what the Father has told me to do. I only go where the Father has told me to go. I only say what the Father has told me to say. So Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So what we saw Jesus do on earth, we know is what God would do if he himself in the flesh was on the planet. And so when we saw Jesus do all this, we can simply know and say, Jesus never prayed for a sick person because he knew the will of the Father and he knew the authority that he had in what God had given him as passing the baton as God on earth. So Jesus would walk up and he'd speak to the blind and he'd command the blind eyes to open. He'd command the deaf ears to open. He'd command the lame to walk. He'd command the dead to rise. He didn't pray, he spoke it. Why? Because when you know it's yours, there is a different level of authority that you and I speak at. There's a different level of authority that we act upon. Well, why is that? Because we know it's ours. We know we have the right. We don't have to ask him. We don't have to beg for him. Great example. Another one is one day my kids, Chad and Cody, were both, they were 4 and 5 years old. We lived in Newfield, split level house. Nice home. And, you know, you got the living room, you got the kitchen, dining room, and then the bedrooms, and there's the stairs down the center. And I remember one day I was going to the covered bridge. Anybody ever been to the Newfield covered bridge? Listen, their Tully burgers are the best burgers you will ever eat. Really, and I hate hamburgers. I'm un-American. I hate hamburgers, and I don't like pizza either. So, but I will eat a Tully burger. As it drips down your face. And so I'm going over to the Cover Bridge Market, and Cody and Chad come to the top and say, "Daddy, we want lollipop with gum in the middle." Went to the store, got what I was getting, found the two lollipops, came home, got out of the car, opened the front door, and there were the boys. They knew if I said I was going to get them a lollipop with gum in the middle, that I was going to get them a lollipop with gum in the middle. When I came home, they didn't say, "Oh, Daddy, oh, Daddy, oh, Daddy, oh, Daddy, did you please, did you get us one? No, Daddy, did you please?" No, they didn't beg. They didn't plead. They just went. Because they knew that if it was said and I wanted to do it, that they would receive it. This is the issue in the body of Christ. We don't have confidence because it's not taught enough. But we teach it here. Because we know it's God's will. And we know God wants you healthy. Turn to someone and say, "God wants me whole." Right, I didn't say healthy. I said whole. Spirit, soul, and body. God wants your soulish man healed. He wants your mind healed. He wants your emotions healed. He wants your physical body healed. Why does he want that? Well, because to do his work, you need to be healthy. If you're not healthy, you're distracted. Come on, don't listen. The common cold. Not running down your face. Not nose is now red, like so red every time you wipe it, it hurts. You take it and you stuff them up in the corner. You take the tissues and you start stuffing them up your nose so you don't have to wipe anymore. Talking about. He's not going to admit it publicly. You can't pray. You can't think. You're distracted. Sickness is always a distraction. That's why there was no sickness in the garden. Jesus wasn't sick, and there'll be no sickness in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in. Is there sickness in heaven? Then what is God's will for you? You're not sure of that. You're not going to pray in faith. You've got to know this is yours. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. There was a leper that came to Jesus. Now, I want to remind you, he wasn't allowed to be there. Anybody that had excretion from their physical body was not allowed to be in public. They were cast out. And the only way they could come back into the public arena was as they're getting near people, had to cry, unclean, 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 so everybody could move away. But he walked up to Jesus and he asked Jesus the question that every one of us asks. Now listen, we're okay most of the time with somebody else getting healed. We can even have faith for somebody else getting healed. But when it comes right down to home, we've got to make a decision on our own. And he asked the question, Lord, if it be your will, you can make me whole. Jesus did the unthinkable. Bible said he actually reached out and said, I will. Jesus is no respecter of persons. If he wills for him, he will. Well, I had a doctor say this to me. Everyone's got to die, Pastor. Everyone's got to die. I agree. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Unless the rapture happens, the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah! The rapture of the church could happen tonight. But if it doesn't and you die, why do you think God, who is so powerful? Well, everybody's got to die, so God's got to kill you with a disease. So, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now you get to see him face to face. Now you know I'm getting older. These are just the normal aches and pains of an aged person. Really, who told you that? Now you know my mother had arthritis. I have arthritis. My dad. God bless you if you want that genealogy. Last I knew, I'm a son of God. And last I knew, I have the right to be healed. So the last I know, arthritis doesn't belong in my body. I really believe it's God's will. Well, you know, Pastor, I was in an accident, and I got hurt in the accident, and honestly, I just, you know, that's just the way it is. Really, Jesus heals the maimed. There was a man who was born with a withered hand. Jesus said, stretch out your hand. And his hand was healed. Heal maiming. Jesus can heal something from birth. This man was born blind. Why was he born blind? Was a mother or father in sin? No, but God's going to get the glory. Got to make a decision. I really believe it's God's will to heal them. I believe, I just missed it, you know. Maybe I just got to wait longer. When Daniel prayed in Daniel chapter 9, he got an immediate answer. Boom. Prayed and boom, got the answer. In chapter 10, he prayed and it was released. In both instances, God released the answer the moment he asked. The difference was the three-weeker was that the devil held back the answer. But it's important to know that the moment you pray God's will, your answer is already released. So what's holding it up? Sometimes it's diabolical. Sometimes it's your own tongue. With your mouth, you are justified, and with your mouth, you are condemned. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And listen, we got to finish the verse. The fruit you produce. Well, you mean God's telling me to lie? No, God's not telling you to lie. He's telling you to declare the truth over the fact. God's not asking you to be a liar. If you're not feeling well, if there's a problem, that's the fact. But the truth will make you free, not the fact. So you don't spend your time sitting there focusing on the fact. You sit there declaring the truth. He sent his word to heal you, to Rapha, which literally means physical health. His word will bring physical health to your body and to your bones. So instead of sitting there focusing on the fact, which is a fact. Remember one time a doctor said to my wife, well, you're just denying the facts. You're just avoiding the facts. And she got mad. She got mad. She goes, I'm not denying the facts, but I am declaring the truth. That doctor had no clue. Really didn't, and that's okay. Wasn't born again. You can't expect an unsaved doctor to understand spiritual principles. They think you're crazy. They're okay with Reiki. They're okay with diabolical demonic activity, but just don't bring Jesus in. You got to make a decision. Is it God's will to heal me? Now, what's really cool about Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5, surely he bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The King James Version doesn't actually interpret that two words as well as they should. The Bible says he bore our griefs. Now, the word bore means that literally he carried them. Literally they were strapped to him. They were taken off of you and put on him. What's the word grief mean? The actual word grief in the Hebrew means sickness. For your sickness. Which means you don't have it anymore. You are a spirit who has a soul that lives in the body. Corinthians makes this declaration, don't look at the things which can be seen, for they are temporal, but look at the things which cannot be seen, for they are eternal. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So you and I, as spiritual people, living in a natural body, have to draw the truth from the Spirit. Your eye has not seen, your ear has not heard, your mind cannot even conceive the great things that God has in store for those who love him. And the Word of God goes on to say just two verses later, and the Spirit reveals the deep things of God. So as a spiritual man and a spiritual woman, because you are now born again, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You are now, old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. Now you are a born again person, not born again in the flesh, not born again in water, but you're born again in your spirit man. Now the Spirit of God who dwells inside of you, for you have become the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now as a spiritual man and as a spiritual woman, you are not governed by this plane. You are governed, number one, by the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, God is a covenant God. And if God is a covenant God, what he has cut for you in the covenant, it is yea and amen, for God cannot lie. And in the covenant that Christ cut on Calvary's tree, it simply says simply three things. Number one, it is always God's will to forgive you. It is always God's will to save you. Not only his will, his desire, his want. It is always God's will to heal you. It is not just that God can. God wants to. God desires to. He already paid for it. He wants his babies healthy. And number three, God wants you blessed, going in and going out. They left Egypt with all the wealth of the Egyptians. These are yours. Carried our sorrows. The word sorrow there in the Hebrew means physical pain, emotional pain. So if you're dealing with emotional pain and wounds, Jesus already took them on the tree. They're not yours to carry anymore, because he said he carried your sorrow. When there's pain in our physical body, I get very aggressive. Why? Pain doesn't belong. Carried them. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Say about our burdens, they're light. Why? Because he has them. So when physical pain comes in your body, now pain is not your enemy in a sense, because it tells you that there's something wrong, but pain that remains and is torment is something that you have got to take authority over in the name of Jesus. And you can take authority and say, in Jesus' name, pain, you have no right in my body. I take authority, for Christ carried it. Christ put it on himself on that cross. I do not have to be sick. I do not have to have grief and sorrow in my emotional realm, because Jesus paid for that too. I have these rights as a covenant child of God, and I don't need to beg him. I don't need to plead for him. And you're always waiting for it to be delved out to you. Or, you know, my kids had no problem asking me for it, no problem expecting it, and no problem taking it, taking the wrapper off, and eating it. Then chewed the gum all the way around the house. And you know what I had as a dad? I was happy. God bless my kids. My daddy wants you healthy. God wants you to. Do you think God gets pleasure out of you? And sickness to your body. You know, my kid was disobedient, so I put cancer on him. I need a whooping. I'm not going to try to kill him. God that way. Well, it must not be God's will. Well, if it's God's will for one, it's God's will for all. Then what's going to happen is you're going to live that life of spiritual hope. You can't see yourself healed. You don't believe.
your body healed.
I'm talking with your eyes. I'm talking with your eyes. Joshua chapter 6. They're staring at Jericho. Walls so high you can't climb them. So wide, two chariots can run across them at the same time. They needed to take Jericho. And so here he is, Joshua, staring at Jericho. And this is what God said to him. Joshua, see, I have already given you the city and its mighty men. Well, in the flesh, when you saw, what did you see? At that very moment, you saw the wall still standing. You saw the people still mocking. You saw, in reality, the circumstance that seemed impenetrable. But God wasn't saying, see with these eyes. He said, see with these eyes. I've already given it. Why? Because God lives in eternal time. We live in a different time. And God is saying, listen now, I want you to see in my time, because in my time, you're physically already healthy. In my time, you're already whole. In my time, there is no disease in your body. In my time, the diabetes is already gone. In my time, arthritis is already dried up. In my time, your eyes are already healthy. In my time, your ears are already whole. In my time, your mind is already clear. In my time, see in my time, because if you can't see in faith or God's time, then you'll never move in that direction. If he did not believe, I've already given you the city, he would never have marched around it all those days. Because they look stupid. It was stupid to march around Jericho. Made no natural sense. Joshua saw. Your problem already gone? Because if you don't, you probably won't have faith. Can't see it, then all you're doing is hoping it's going to happen. God is not moved by my hope. God is not moved by my need. God is moved by faith. It is impossible to please God. Those who come to him must believe that he is. I don't care if you're being blessed. Mine's being blessed. And I've been quoting verses. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And I know that I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able to do that against that day. And I know that if God is for me, who can be against me? And I know no sickness, no disease, no diabolical enemy that is going to try to bring a spirit of infirmity in my life has a right to stay. Why? Because he was the Son of God. Why? What are the causes of sickness? Some foolish saints run around saying that if you have sickness, you have had sin in your life. And I want you to know that that is not true. Sickness came from the fallen world. But just because you are sick does not mean you have sin in your life. I heard from a friend of mine who saw it with his own eyes, a church that decimated an entire family. Little boy was in a wheelchair and he wanted to be healed. And so they brought him up and they prayed over him for an hour, trying to pull him out of his chair, body, the whole thing. And the pastor gave up and turned and said, yeah, he probably has sin in his life. Turned around, walked away. Destroyed that guy. Remember, there's a difference between a miracle, an instantaneous work of God, and a healing, which is progressive. We know it was God's will that the boy came out of the wheelchair. We know that they prayed. God heard the prayer. God released the answer. You don't know what held it. But then to turn to the boy and say, yes, downright cruel and mean. Just because you have sickness in your body doesn't mean you have sin in your life. And you need to know that. And even if you did sin, and that's what caused the sickness, not because he has to, only, but because. Loves you. But isn't that good news? That's what the gospel is called, good news. Sometimes people are sick because of improper care of their body. Amen. For those who've missed today's leadership training, I would encourage you to get online, those who are watching online as well. I would encourage you to go to my Facebook, Empowering Pastors. Yep, that's the book right there. Could I finish it? Or just go buy this book. Dr. Carolyn Leaf, I don't know if you've ever heard of her. Carolyn Leaf, it's called Think, Learn, and Succeed. This book right here, she is a scientist, born again. She knows and teaches that 90 to 99% of all sicknesses in our body are caused by how we think. It is absolutely amazing that our thoughts literally can cause sickness. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. You have the mind of Christ. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How you think. That optigenetic, was it opti? A study called epigenetics. The word epi means above. Epigenetics, the study, which is scientific, and they actually do it with, it's just amazing science. I actually had to look it up in a whole different area. But epigenetics simply says that your DNA, and your DNA is actually, can be manipulated by how you think. Because the epigenetics, your genetics are turned on and off by how you think, which determines how your DNA works. How you think determines your whole life. I taught that today. On Tuesday, don't turn your head. Sorry. So epigenetics simply says that if you think proper, you can actually retrain your brain and it brings health to your physical body. So on Tuesday, today, I challenge you to go to Empowering Pastors Facebook and watch that. You'll be blessed. I'll be continuing the training next week. But it is a life-transforming message that Dr. Carolyn Leaf teaches on success. But it has everything to do with this. Now, with the improper care of your body, sometimes what people do is they just don't take care of themselves. You cannot eat 500 hamburgers in a day and your heart blow up and wonder why. You can't even blame the devil. Amen. So my doctor, this was 6 months ago, I had my six-month checkup coming in just a few days. And 6 months ago, he said, Pastor Spencer, I haven't been here in 3 years. Actually, honestly, I'm a little bothered. So I'm going to put you through every test to torment you. And he came back and he said, you have a fatty liver. And I said, well, I mean, that doesn't sound good. He said, a fatty liver? I said, well, how do I get rid of a fatty liver? He said, lose weight. He said, if you lose weight and you exercise, you can get rid of a fatty liver. So my fatty liver had nothing to do with the devil. It had to do with that I love donuts. I know God made donuts. There will be donuts in heaven. Oh, my, the sour, is it sour cream or sour dough with the extra frosting on top dipped in your coffee? It is the will of heaven. I love donuts. My fatty liver didn't come from the devil. It came from donuts. And the lack of getting on my bicycle.
What? I'm going to use this one.
All right, class dismissed. So it's important to recognize we can't blame the devil. Sometimes we do dumb things. Say amen. Say amen. If you don't take care of your body is not going to fare well. You've got to take care of your body. You need to exercise. Turn to somebody and say, I love exercise. You're lying, going to hell. But God never created our bodies to be sedimentary, which means still. Your body was created to move. The more your body moves, the healthier you are. You need to be moving. You need to exercise. I hate exercise. I like it once I'm doing it, but doing it is horrible. And I ride bicycle. Now, there are two types of bicycles. My favorite type of bicycle is called Harley Davidson. And that is a lot of exercise on a Harley because you got to hold it up. You know, you got to lean in. You got to twist the throttle and, you know, grab the clutch. That's work. But the bicycle that I really need to ride, I used to 2 years ago, was riding 1,000 miles a year. Last year, I failed miserably. But this year, I'm back on target, and I'll have 1,000 miles by the end of this year riding riding a real bicycle, not a Harley Davidson, because I know that I need to get to a healthy place, and this is what the Lord told me. He convicted me years ago and rebuked me years ago, and he said, how could I ever send the revival that you're asking for because you couldn't make it probably 5 to 6 days, never mind a year of outpouring? Yes, Lord. Because a revival takes endurance. If you've ever been in part of a revival, services don't last an hour or two or three. Sometimes they're all night long. Sometimes you never leave. Sometimes for days. Wahoo! There's 7 days a week. I don't know about going to 7 church, 7 days. Let me tell you, when the Holy Ghost is moving like that, you want to be there. And if you don't think it takes a toll on your physical body, and if you're not in good shape, man, I'm telling you, the preachers don't make it too well. So the Holy Spirit's been convicting me for years, and I've responded periodically. But you got to know that some people are sick because they're not taking care of their body. Some people are sick because of overeating. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says that we must exercise self-control in all things. The Bible comes against gluttony. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You know what? I went to Olive Garden, and I love Olive Garden. How many of you love Olive Garden? I love Olive Garden, and they had this new dish, and it was a white sauce dish with a really good-looking pasta and shrimp in it. And I was getting ready to order it, and I looked down, and it was like 2,300 calories. That's an entire day's calories in one meal at night. I could immediately feel growth coming on me just staring at the menu. So instead, I got one of those little green sign things for 550 calories. You got it. You can't just eat whatever you want. I love Lay's potato chips. You can't just eat one. I mean, I can sit down and eat an entire bag of Lay's potato chips. I can sit down and eat an entire, listen now, I can eat an entire box of 12 ice cream sandwiches. I love ice cream sandwiches. I can make me a sundae, come on now. Mint chocolate chip ice cream with grape soda over top. With some, you know, some whipped cream and a cherry. Come on, so, you know, you got to put a little sprinkles on there. I feel Jesus. But you can't eat that and wonder why things aren't working for you if you're eating it all the time. Down in Mexico, where we have our churches, most of the people down there have diabetes. Not a few of them, the majority of them. So when I do a prayer line, they're all coming up for prayer for diabetes. I couldn't understand. Why does everybody have diabetes? And then I found out. They drink Coca-Cola. Now, not American Coca-Cola. Mexican Coca-Cola, which is straight, pure sugar cane. They drink it. That's their drink in the morning. It's not orange juice. That's what they drink in mid-morning. That's what they drink for lunch. That's what they drink in the afternoon, and that's what they drink for supper, and that's what they drink when they sit down in their hut that has hammocks in it, that is of dirt floor, but yet they have a widescreen TV and satellite. They're drinking Coca-Cola all day long, and they can't understand why they have diabetes. You got to take care of yourself. Can I hear an amen or oh my? I don't believe that God created green except for grass and mint chocolate chip ice cream. But if you don't eat vegetables, you're not going to be healthy. So my wife blends them for me and puts them in a smoothie, and so they look purple, and then that's the will of God. Some people are sick because of accidents, whether they're lifting something incorrectly, a vehicle accident, falling. This is just a massive list. It's not the devil that wounded you. It was an accident. Jesus heals accidents. Amen? Some people are born sick. Some people have bad habits. Amen. You cannot smoke for 25 years and then be shocked if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer. Amen. You got to know, you got to take care of yourself. Amen. I had this volume up and I can hear myself talking. Now, there is another type of sickness that is caused, and the cause of it is demon oppression or demon possession. Now, there is a difference between possession and oppression. If you are a Christian, you cannot be possessed. Say it again. If you are born again, the Bible says you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is not a good sharer. He does not share space with a demon. Amen. So as a believer, you cannot be demon possessed. But if a person is not a Christian, then a demon can actually possess their body and cause sickness in their life. And then the other way that people are sick is called oppression. And a believer can be oppressed, afflicted. When you study the Voice of Healing ministers, the folks that really saw a great amount of miracles and signs and wonders, you'll find that they always came to a declaration that you knew it was a demon spirit when life, the life of the sickness produced death. So cancers. Whenever there was a cancer, they did not deal with it as a cancer. They dealt with it as a demonic spirit that was bringing death through life. Because cancer is a cell, a living cell, that is twisted and now producing death to destroy. They always dealt with cataract as a demon. They always dealt with arthritis as a demon. And different, and Jesus dealt with the spirit of blindness, the spirit of deafness, a demon that causes people to be mute. There were different demons. A woman who had osteoporosis, as we would call it today. The Bible says she was bent over and in no wise could rise herself up. She had a spirit of infirmity, a demonic spirit causing sickness in her body. So demons can cause sickness in the body. And you can't medicate out a demon. You need to think about that. If it is a demonic spirit, you can't medicate out a demonic spirit. You cannot hope out a demonic spirit. The only way to get a demonic spirit to loose somebody is to command it to loose them. Command it to come out of them. Command it to stop giving life to that cancer. Command the demon to stop producing death in the name of Jesus. Command it to come out, and then the sickness has to dry up. So if a person has cancer, you take authority over the demon of cancer, over the spirit that's causing that cancer in their body. Command that spirit to come out, and then that tumor or that cancer has no more life-giving force in it, and it dries up and dies or comes out. So it's important to recognize that sometimes demons cause sickness. Jesus, like I said, dealt with it all the time, and he dealt with it strongly. He didn't tolerate it. We see it in Job chapter 2, verse 7 as well. Satan went forth and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. We know that Jesus dealt with foul, unclean spirits, spirits of infirmity. Mark chapter 9, 14 through 29. The demon possessed boy who was not in his right mind was thrown into the fire and water, and the demon was set free, and he was then in his right mind. 9:32-33, a mute man that was brought to Jesus, the devil was cast out and he spoke. Matthew 12:22, the blind and the mute spirit was cast out. They could see and talk. Mark chapter 9, verse 25, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him. And the demon came out and he could talk and he could hear. Luke chapter 13, verse 11, the woman with the spirit of infirmity, arthritis, osteoporosis, should not this woman of Abraham, this daughter of Abraham, be loosed from this oppression? And he commanded the demon to come off, and it did. So, there are different reasons, but in every reason, you've got to know this, it's always God's will to heal you, even if you were stupid. Amen? Even if you were stupid, God still wants you healed. Sometimes you got to repent. Lord, forgive me for eating so much ice cream with grape soda. Please, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me for not exercising, take care of my body. Back in 2002, we used to have a church softball team. We were horrible. No, we lost every single game. But I was okay with that because we just did it to have fun. There were some teams that really got uptight, and so we would torment them a little, you know, and we'd watch them lose their salvation right on the entire softball, on the softball thing. So Lou Lamphere and I were on the team together, and Lou was, I think at that point, probably 62 or 63 years old. And, you know, I'm just this dumb preacher, just having fun, having a great time. And one day I decided, I'm going to crank this thing. I'm not a bad ball player, and I pounded that beast. I mean, I pounded that softball, and I can place the ball. So it's not just that I can hit it. I can place it where I want it to go. So I placed it, you know, you have your roamer. I placed it over his head more into the right side of the field. And so I knew I would have my run, and I took off. And you know, for a chunky guy, this dude can run. And so I'm swinging, man. I'm just cruising around those bases. And the ball is coming in. It came to the shortstop, and now it's coming into home plate as I'm going in. And I laid right down, and I slid. I slid this way. I slid right into the home plate. Home run, come on now. I tore my butt muscle. I tore my gluteus maximus. I did. I tore the muscle. I tore my gluteus maximus. And let me tell you, wahoo!
I know this. When I don't exercise, I get a pain right there. It's not my sciatic. One time I thought it was a sciatic nerve, so I went to a chiropractor, and he did this move on me. And I said, is it sciatic? He said, if that was your sciatic nerve, you would be crying like a little boy right now. He said, because I did something to try to hurt your sciatic nerve. He says, you tore your butt muscle. You told me you did. I said, yes. He said, you have to keep that stretch. Do you know, I know that if I don't exercise on my bicycle, my butt hurts. When I sit in a chair too long, it's like. But if I am smart and take care of my body and I exercise, it never bothers me at all. I can't blame the devil for that. I'll blame the shortstop guy for that because he made me slide quicker. But I don't even remember who he was or I'd say something to him. The point comes down to is you got to take care of yourself. Amen? You got to take care of yourself. Turn to someone and say, health is partly on our behalf. So why are some people not healed? There are people that die with sickness. And sometimes we just don't understand, but you've got to always know this. That was not God's will for their life. Now, it's not that they were evil, but that was not God's will for their life. God wants everybody healed, but some people aren't. Well, why? Sometimes it is because of faith, but most of the time it's not. And I'll tell you why. You only need a mustard seed. It's not usually faith. There are people that usually most of the people are unbelievers or people that have been taught wrongly. So they believe the lie rather than the truth. And so there are some people that aren't healed because they do not have miracles. They're more curious and mockers than they are actually coming for Jesus. It's amazing to me, we one time had Brother Ted Shuttlesworth here, and I don't know about you, I'm very excited about him coming. He's coming for Resurrection Weekend. I'm believing for some resurrections that weekend. I'm talking like, he is moving now in the Spirit deeper than I've ever seen before. I think I told you, maybe I didn't tell you this. We were just with him last week in York, Pennsylvania, and he had a word of knowledge for this woman, pulled her out, and said, this is where you're sick, this is what's happening, God's healing you right now. And I just want you to prove that, you know, I'm not just saying that. I'm now walking down the hallway of your house. This is the color of the wall that you have on the paint. And you have a little table right there against the wall. Oh, that picture. Yeah, I can see the house that's in the picture. And look at the beautiful, the leaves. Oh, that's a Norman Rockwell. Through the word of knowledge, he was actually able to walk through her house in the Spirit. I can't wait for him to get here. You better get your faith levels up. We want him to be so tired when he leaves here after 3 days that he's going to need to take a month's break. Hallelujah. He might. Some people are not healed because they're looking for the healing rather than the healer. Some people rely so much on the arm of the flesh, the doctor is considered more powerful than God. Some people do have unforgiveness in their hearts. Some people, they're touching God's anointed, which means the Bible makes a declaration in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 22, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Numbers chapter 12, Miriam, Moses' sister, came against him, and she was struck with leprosy. You'll find that when you come against the men of God and the women of God, the anointed of God, the called of God, that you will position yourself for a demonic attack in your own life. The pastor at lunchtime should never be your lunch. You honor the gifts that God has given you, and you'll find that that will never be an issue in your life. Sometimes there is sin in people's lives. Jesus said to one man, go and sin no more, lest a greater thing come upon you. Some people, it's just simply unbelief. They just don't believe that God would do that for them. And some people, they get tired in the fight. I've met more than one where there were people of faith and they were believing God and standing firm in God's truth and truth that God was going to set them free. But after a period of time, they simply got tired and they said, you know, Pastor, I'm good. I'm just going to go home. Can't blame them. And they just went home. I have met, I'm thinking of one man in particular, who he died not because of the disease that was in his body, but he died because the doctors accidentally overdosed him and killed him. So some people don't get healed, and they do die. The religious say it this way. Well, they'll either get their healing here or in heaven. That's junk. God wants them healed here. God doesn't. Well, God needed another angel in heaven. That's baloney. God didn't need an angel in heaven. He needs you here. You got to get busy. If you're up in heaven, then you're not a worker here. Just a bunch of foolishness. So how can I get healed? Number one, you got to believe it's God's will. And that he did it for you. Turn to someone and say, he did it for me. Jesus never turned away one person who came to him for healing. Jesus never told one that it was not his will to heal them. Jesus never told one that God was using sickness to teach him a spiritual lesson. Jesus healed all that came to him. He didn't heal all, but he healed all that came to him in faith. The Bible says, if you're sick, call the elders of the church for prayer. Don't stay home. We're not asking you to infect everybody. But if you're in a position where you can't get to church, don't sit home. Make a call. I need prayer. We'll send the elders of the church. And they'll come over to your house, anoint you with oil, James chapter 5. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Amen. Pray in faith. Trust his word and covenant promise. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. Now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is the mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises. You need to receive your healing. Be like my boys. And I want you to see this in your head. When you go to receive your healing, I want you to picture my two boys at the top of those stairs when I walked in the house. That's what I want you to picture. But I want you to be the one at the top of the stairs. And I want Jesus to be where I was standing. And I want you just to receive what he's promised you. Don't make it any more difficult than that. Don't make it any more difficult than that. If you make it more difficult than that, well, then you're trying to do something to get it. My boys didn't have to do jumping jacks. My boys didn't have to change their clothes. My boys didn't need to beg. They just needed to take what they knew was theirs. Receive. Keep it simple, because it is simple. When you got saved, you didn't have to beg for your salvation. You received your salvation. When you're healed, you don't need to beg for your healing. You just need to receive your healing. That's good. Read the word on healing to guard against doubt slipping in. Amen. You should be in the word all the time when it comes about healing. Kenneth Copeland has a great one on YouTube. I would encourage everyone you to listen to. Actually, my wife and I were just talking on the way in tonight. Kenneth Copeland said he listens to this twice a day with his wife every single day. Every day. Go on YouTube. Type in Kenneth Copeland, 101 Healing Scriptures. He reads them to you. What do you got to do? Nothing but listen. But what's that going to do? Everything. He sent his word to heal you. The moment you start listening to that, healing is automatically being released in your life like an IV is releasing saline. Like an IV is releasing releasing medication into your body. It's the same thing. The more you listen to the word, the more you're going to get healed. The quicker you're going to get healed. If you never listen to the word, then what's going to happen is doubt is going to creep in. And you're going to start looking more at your circumstance and you are going to be looking at the promise. That is powerful right there. I challenge you to get that in. Now, I will say this too. There it is. Speak and allow only those who speak faith to you to have a voice in your life. I'm not picking on anybody, but I will tell you. Remember I told you my wife, she pretty much was going to die on New Year's Eve. Christmas Eve, I'm sorry. I mean, New Year's Eve, there you go. And I gave the testimony. Do you realize that people have been walking up to my wife on Sunday and saying, are you still feeling all right? What in the world are you talking about? But you see, that shows that they don't get it yet. But the scary part is, why do you want that spoken into your life? When you're believing God for a miracle and a healing in your body, you can't just let anybody speak into your life. You got to be careful of the voices. Because the devil can use Christians too. There was this woman, she came to the church, this is, my goodness, a lot of years ago. She came to the church and she had hives all over her body and down her throat. She was a mess. But she had been taught her whole spiritual life. Now, they were pastors and they literally, I'm talking like seriously, they were told by their group, I won't say a denomination because it wasn't a denomination, it was just a group of people that, you know, the Lord put that on her to teach her something. Well, I was starting to teach her. They started coming to our church, and I started teaching her the truth. And I said, it's never God's will. And man, she got a hold of it. I'm talking like she got a hold of it. And we laid hands on her. God started to heal her. And man, all of a sudden, she said she lived the healthiest year in her entire life. But you know what her friends kept telling her? How dare you tell God to heal you? I mean, God puts things on people. You can't just tell God. Who are you to tell God? She let them in her life. And she slid back into sickness. You can't just let anybody speak in your life. I don't let anybody have a microphone in my life that are going to speak doubt and unbelief. And truthfully, if I am struggling with sickness, I'm not running around and telling you. I'm not running around telling the devil. You do realize he only knows what you tell him. I don't get up in the morning, oh, I feel like crap. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's going to be a horrible day. Exactly. You just gave the devil every bit of meat that he needs to eat you up. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. God, I thank you that today I am healthy and I am whole. I thank you that today I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and with power. I thank you that today, God, I am in my right mind. My body is in order and I am healthy and I am whole. Well, don't be a lie. I don't have to be. I'm declaring the truth and the facts have to come in alignment with the word of God. For the power of heaven is within me and God's word is truth. And the truth will break the back of every devil and break the back of every sickness. But if you aren't speaking it, then you get what you speak. And I don't let anybody in my life who's going to speak doubt and unbelief. Why? Well, when you're ill, you don't have that luxury to have somebody help steal what God's promises from your life. You'll never see me post, well, I don't feel good today. Pray for me. Skip you, man. I'm telling you something right now. I'm not telling no devil I'm not feeling good. I don't care if snot is running down my nose. I'm taking vitamin C and declaring the righteousness of God in my life. You got to make a decision. Because this isn't games. The devil wants you dead. Really, he wants you dead. If you are dead, now even if you go to heaven, If you're dead, that means you're not here. And if you're not here, how can you share Christ with anybody? If the devil can get you so sick that you're not doing God's purpose for your life, then he won. That's why healing is the meat of the children. It is your right to be healthy, to be whole in your spirit, your soul, and your body. Amen?
Selah.
Does anybody have a question for me? Anybody question online? Anybody have a question online? Hold on, I haven't said it yet. There's a delay. Anybody have a question online? Hi, Isaac. Aren't you sitting over there? Yes, you are. You're online. Nobody in the room has a question. I explained it well. Very good. One more time online. One more time online. Hold on, I'm going to hit the hearts. I just like seeing them float in my face, come in the little puh. Nobody online? Very good. Let's all stand to our feet.